Well, this morning I'm going to be sharing a few things. And actually, in actuality, I have some scriptures down here of things. And a few months back, God started dealing with some areas and started speaking to me concerning the areas of prosperity, also the areas of healing. He was talking to me about some things about ministering in these areas, and he just kept coming up with inside of me. Usually that's the way things work with me. God will start ahead of time, and there's certain things come to me, and over a period of time, usually I just don't jump right on it. Just he'll start bringing things to me. But he turned around, and I was after last week in teaching, and he spoke a scripture to me. And so, and most of the time, lots of times when the Lord speaks to me, I don't know, he'll say things to me from a scripture. Lots of times he'll say something and bring a scripture up to me. And most of the time he'll use a scripture from the King James Version. Now, that don't mean the King James Version is the version. I saw a sticker a guy had on his car, a sticker, and it had on there, "If it isn't King James, it isn't Bible." And I thought, boy, poor God didn't know it. If he would have lived before the King James Bible, he'd have probably thought, you know, went to hell because you can't follow it, you know. But the reason that is because when I started off in Christianity, I started off in most scripture. Lots of times it comes to me, or it comes up, it comes out of the King James Version. I went over to the New King James because it's easier to read and read to people, because it gets all the these and thous out of it and all that kind of stuff. We don't use it. We don't use the add THs at the end of our words, and, you know, we don't do that. That doesn't mean the King James can't be used. There's some things from the King James translates very well, and some of it is better than some of the newer translations. And so if you find out, I usually study them out. But anyhow, the Lord spoke to me a scripture, and he used the King James when he spoke it to me out from 3 John, the 2nd chapter. And he used the King James Version out of it. And when I went over and actually had over time and looked over in it, I found out that the King James Version is much closer really to the actual literal translation, the Greek. So it's actually closer. It's actually a closer translation than the New King James is. But it says, I'm going to read it from the King James because this is what the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayeth prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth." And the Lord spoke that to me. And I knew I was supposed to minister, really. And he said this to me, that this was going to be the foundational scripture of what I'm going to start teaching. Now, I don't know what it is yet I'm going to start teaching. he said this to me. And this was an odd one, because when he said this to me, he said, "I want you to entitle this Above All Things." And usually he doesn't necessarily come up and just give me a title for it. But he spoke to me. He said, "I want you to entitle this Above All Things." So I said, okay, well, at least I got two things. No, I'm going. But as I went and sat down and meditated, looking at scriptures, reading things from the Bible, one of the things that the Lord had me do is going over, I've been reading through Brother Hagin's book on the Midas Touch. It was one of the things I was looking over in there. It was one of the things that the Lord has emphasized to me, and we want to talk about in these areas, because it is very interesting when we take from a scripture. The literal Greek of that scripture would say, "Beloved, concerning all things." So it was concerning everything, or looking at everything. It says, "I desire that you prosper and that you be in health, even as your soul prospers." So in other words, looking over at everything. Now understand this. This is words written to a Christian. This is not written to mankind in general. The church looks at things written lots of times, and they act like, well, the Bible is written to everybody. Yeah, everybody who receives Jesus, it is. But if you don't receive Jesus, it's not your book. And we need to understand who he's talking to and what he's talking about. Because, and let me say this as we go into this teaching. And I want you to listen carefully what I'm going to say. Because, really, one of the problems that we're dealing with, the church has gotten into extremes on both sides. We've either run the ditch when it comes to healing and prosperity. It's either running in the ditch in one side, well, God don't heal today, and you know, you ain't supposed to have too much. And on the other side, dealing in the areas of healing and stuff and prosperity. Then they get into the ditch over here and they get into weird stuff. And then, you know, then everybody comes money-minded and they get weird about healing and get over into things where you can't go to a doctor and you can't. So you get in ditches on either side. And the church has pretty much as general got into the ditch. Today, really in the areas, a lot of extremes are taught. A lot from the extreme. Now, sometimes, and understand this, the Holy Spirit will move, especially people over in the areas of the prophet's ministry and sometimes the apostle, because an apostle, some apostles sometimes can sort of get into the, be a bit prophetic more on the prophet side sometime in their ministry. And they'll get over, and really God trying to pull people out of a ditch on one side, sometime you have to get a little extreme to get people out of the ditch or they won't leave the ditch. They'll just stay there. And sometimes you can try everything you want and people want to stay in the ditch, so just let them in the ditch. That's something that I had to learn over time, and you need to learn that too. There's people that are in a ditch, and we have spent too much time trying to get people out of ditches that don't want them out of the ditch. They're going to stay there. There's people that I will not discuss things with them anymore because I know it's just a waste of my time. It's a waste. If God can't get a hold of them, unless the Lord speaks to me specifically to go to talk to them, I ain't talking to them about anything. I won't talk to them. I ain't talking about being mean to a person. But if they are dealing with a problem or something, I just stay out of it. Let them in it. Because, you know, you can only do so much. But we want to bring balance to things. And sometimes balance can be a little bit difficult. It can be hard to do because you can see some things in Scripture that are just really sort of way out there. And then on the other side, and bringing it over into a place where really where it benefits us, where we can walk. And especially, you know, that we don't walk over in an area. And, you know, I've seen people where they've gotten, you know, because they had to go to a doctor and they get so bummed out over the thing because they looking at divine healing. And I had to learn as a young Christian to learn to walk where my faith is. I had to learn through some failures of my own because I tried to walk where people with greater faith could walk and I couldn't go there. And see, lots of people, one of the real problems that we have is this, is if you don't know your own spirit and what's inside of you and how far you can go, you're going to have trouble. You can go around and quote all the scriptures you want, but you have to know how far you can go in your faith. And I had to learn over time, I had to learn how far I could go, where I could go. Now, today I can go further in things than I could before. But sometimes I run into places today where I see where my limit's at. I can only run so far, even though I know there's beyond that, but I can't go there. You know, believe in God for finances and stuff, you know. I mean, I just can't stop, you know, and believe God. I'm just going to believe God for $100 million. I'll tell you what. Well, that would definitely be a stretch on head. I'll tell you what. I'm smart enough to know. But, you know, there's people out here today who are in trouble, and they need maybe $5,000. But really, they got $100 faith. And if you don't know that, if you don't understand that, you're going to stumble around and, you know, not get things done. It's one thing as I've learned is, like I learned from Kenneth Hagin concerning some things, like he talked about learning to judge my faith and where I'm at. He talked about healing one time and he said, if you've been standing for healing and standing and standing and standing and nothing ever changes, he said, you need to stop and check out about your believing and what you're believing. You know, you have to sometimes find out that you're believing wrong. You might be believing, but you're believing wrong. There's things that I know with myself when the Lord spoke to me some years ago, and I've talked about this before, is going back to the scriptures. He said, why do you believe what you do? And I knew what he meant when he said it. I need to go back. That always interests me how he can say just a few words and all of a sudden you know this whole thing. And it's like, how does he do it? See, I'd love to be able to teach like that, you know. Say a few words and everybody understands. But anyhow, I just understood. I need to go back and look at why I believe. Well, when I went back, there was times and things that I found that were actually taught wrong, that generally most good Bible teachers were teaching it wrong because the scripture really didn't say. Things get passed down and people just pick it up. Well, I've done that. We've all done that kind of a thing and believe things. But I found out along the way down there, there was things as I went down along that I didn't really know it as well. And I thought, my, you know, there's things that I knew and I got away from and I have to get back to. And sometimes people walk along and they absolutely think that they're believing God and they're not. If you're not judging yourself on a regular basis, you're not going to grow up much spiritually. You got to judge yourself. You got to do it. I found that out. Things along ain't working. Well, I can't blame, you know. Well, it must be Mike's fault. It ain't working for Ed. So it must be Mike's fault, or, you know. Maybe somebody else's, you know. It said, I got to stop and judge me. Say, hey, hold it. What's going on? You know, it's the blessing of God, especially in this area personally with dealing lots of times in the areas. Finances and health are a bit different in their operation is from this. Your health and healing actually doesn't depend on another person. It depends on you. It's between you and God. Finances is different. Finance is about men giving into your bosom. So God has to get a hold of people. See, I've learned this over the year. I can bring healing to me much faster than I can bring finances to me. Because it requires people. And you know what? People don't always obey God. You know that? Christians don't always obey God. You know, I've told a story about concerning a car. And I had a sense I was supposed, God, the money was supposed to come the 1 year, and it didn't. But I was exactly right. I found out the next year when the person came to give me money for the car, they said God told me to do this last year, and it didn't do it. So I knew this. It was supposed to come. God was dealing with an individual, but they didn't move. So sometimes you're dealing with that kind of thing where you're dealing with it. But I always say this to people. You make sure that you're all quick to obey God concerning finances, or God will talk to people who are like you are. And if you're not, you'll have people who aren't quick to obey. Folks, I'm believing this, reaping what you sow. If you're not quick, you're going to find some things ain't going to come to you quickly, because if you're slow to respond, you're going to find it's going to be the same way, because you set that spirit in motion. That's what you set in motion. And see, there's things we have to understand about this. That's why it says, if I get a sense to give, move in that direction quickly, because there's times I would like, I know this, maybe now I don't need it, maybe sometime I'll need some money quickly. So it'd be good to have been really obedient. So God might just go talk to the person that's really obedient. But if you're a person who's slack, it may be difficult for you to bring things to pass. It may be, and you need to understand that. Now, your healing, that's between you and God. Hallelujah. And whichever path you take, whether you're going to stand for divine healing or you're going to go to a doctor, there's one thing is, you know, Brother Hagin, the Lord told Brother Hagin specifically on the areas of healing. He said to him, when if you're going to go to a doctor, pray for a quick recovery. He said he told him specifically when he prayed for people that, and if they're going to go to the doctor, pray for a quick recovery. So in other words, God, if I'm going to go to a doctor as a Christian, I should recover faster than people who don't walk by faith. If Christians are only recovering just like other people do, then faith has not been involved. Faith hasn't been involved. Now, why would God tell you pray for a quick recovery if you were just going to recover at the same time as everybody else? You know, and I've watched, you know, with Wanda over the years, you know, just like with we had here with her heart surgery. We've had before with her. She had surgery and things in her foot. I've never seen Wanda do it where we didn't have something, she didn't have something done that she didn't recover way before we're supposed to. Works every time. Why? Because God told Kenneth Hagin, I believe the prophet, I'll prosper. He said if you pray for a quick recovery, you would have one. Well, she's always had one. We've always believed for a quick recovery. We just walked in the light of that thing. And if it wouldn't be a quicker recovery, I would stop and check immediately. What's going on? Where have we missed it? We're missing it somewhere. Our faith is missing it someplace. We're out of line. What's going on? What's happening here? See, this is why you got to stop and judge yourself. You have to do this. You see, we just sort of let this thing over. And lots of times I realize what people do in teaching. They just sort of want to come out and tell you a really quick path to get there. And that can be helpful. But there's a lot of people ain't arriving where they want to be. There's more reasons over in sickness and disease. There's many reasons why people can be sick. People can be sick for a lot of different reasons. People could be sick, and you know what? It's completely from a physical side. They don't take care of their health. They don't look after themselves. And ain't nothing spiritual about it. And they can pray and believe God all they want until they change physically some things. It ain't going to change, you know? I remember the Lord told me, and I've used this before, I was out running, and I used to do a lot of running, as you can see now. I run more to the table than I do out there running. Anyhow, so no use lying about it. Don't you? But anyhow, the Lord spoke to me one day and said, I want you to take a vitamin with more iron in it. Well, I had not really paid it. I didn't pay attention. There were certain things that I, you know, read about with running, and I used to, you know, things to need to do if you're going to do that, because you are, you know, your body, you know, going through things and running. So lots of people, sometimes people have problems with their health and running and stuff like that. It's because they don't, you know, you can't, there's things you got to do because your body's burning up a lot more energy and doing stuff. But I didn't realize this. When the body, when your blood, when you're running or you're doing any kind of exercise where you're really pumping blood through your system quickly, it damages red corpuscles. But if you take more iron, they repair themselves and doesn't cause a problem at all. Well, I didn't know that. And the Lord said to me to take that. Well, so, you know, with me, I just started doing this. I thought, well, I knew the Lord spoke to me. So I remember I came home and even said to Wanda about it. I said, Lord spoke to me, I'm supposed to take more iron. So I got a vitamin that had more iron in it. I started taking this vitamin. And this went by a few months, and then I would regularly give blood. So I went in to give blood, and so the guy took my pulse, and when I used to run all the time, when I would sit down, my pulse would drop to about 30. You know, that's about, was probably normal, and that's pretty normal for people who do a lot of running. Their pulse will drop down. There's nothing wrong with them. They're fine, is they don't have to try to pump so much through their body. It runs, I guess if they say it just runs pretty easy, your blood's pumping through pretty good. But he said to me, he said, oh, your pulse is 30. He said, do you run? I said, yeah. And the first thing he said to me, do you take iron vitamin? I said, yeah. Now the guy's a Christian. And I said, yeah. I said, the Lord spoke to me about that. And I said, a couple months ago, I started taking iron. And he explained to me why. And he said, yeah, that was a good thing. Well, now, it didn't seem that I could just go make a confession of faith and make that go away. There was something that I needed to do with that, to take care of it. So there's natural things sometimes that you do have to do. You know, so many people are doing stuff that they could correct, but they don't, they just keep on the same path they're on. There's things you can do to correct your problem. You know, it's like what Kenneth Hagin said, you know, if you take a hammer and hit your thumb and that stuff and take the thumbnail off of it, he said, you believe God for healing, but you keep hammering nails and you're not good at it. He said, you can pray all you want, you're going to have a sore thumb. You keep hitting that thing, it's going to be sore. You need to understand that. You need to understand these things. And this is, we have things that are said. So now, I don't have any notes that I'm going in this direction or what I'm going to do. I'm just, the Holy Spirit gave me no more than a few things. And I thought, Lord, what are we going to do with this? And it's just like, well, you just go and start and we'll go somewhere. But what we want to do is want to look at this, because we're dealing with the areas when God spoke here, and really I believe these are the words of God spoken specifically through the apostle. But we want to understand this is to an individual. And he spoke, the first verse of 3 John in the first chapter says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And I don't know, 3 John is just one chapter, just a very short letter. There's one thing that the Lord spoke to me about is because in this really short letter, there are three different people mentioned. And two are mentioned, Gaius, and there's another gentleman whose minister is mentioned in a very good way, and there's another one who is ministered in not a good way. So there's three people mentioned in this short verse here. And I want you to understand, and this is what the Lord spoke to me, this letter wasn't written to everybody. And it's today, and it's why I want to explain to you. This letter today is not written to everybody. It's written to those who qualify. You're going to find out that Gaius qualified for verse 2. The apostle said this to Gaius because he qualified. Because we're going to have a guy who doesn't qualify to this verse in the same thing. He doesn't qualify. Understand, this is one of the things that we need to understand about the Bible. Like this morning, we're singing about the promises of God, and they're yes and amen, and that's one of the one, and that's, he's right. But you need to understand, there's always qualifications to promises. God put in his word salvation through believing in Jesus Christ. But no matter how Jesus took everybody's sin on the cross, if a person doesn't qualify, if they don't accept Jesus Christ, and they'll be lost and go to hell. It's a qualification. There's qualifications to healing. Jesus told the guy at the pool, he said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. So we know this. Sin brought this on this guy. There's qualifications to health. He told him, you ain't going to stay well if you don't change what you're doing. So this is why, see, that guy could have confessed healing all he wanted if he didn't change his way. It don't matter. You could believe in your heart God wants you well and could believe all kinds of things, but still never have it happen to you because you're not in a qualifying state. You understand that? You're not in a qualifying state. Now, the Lord spoke to me about taking that iron. Now, I want you to understand this. There's one thing as I've learned. Kenneth Hagin, the Lord spoke to him and said this to him, that he was going to be as responsible before him on what he told him as much has been written in the book. That's the way he told him. You need to understand the importance of that. The things that God reveals and speaks to you, it's just as if it's written in the book. When the Lord spoke to me and told me to take that iron, it was as if it had as much validity as if it was quoted in the book. And if I disobeyed it, I don't care, I could have stood around and all the faith stuff I wanted to do, that wasn't going to work. I had to obey what I heard. My deliverance was in obedience to what was heard. My deliverance is in obeying what I hear the Lord say. So understand this. The Lord speaks to you, then what he put in your heart to do, whatever, follow that. That's to your deliverance. What Lord speaks to you is just the same as if something is written in the book. With Kenneth Hagin, he was told him. I remember when Kenneth Hagin said that. Years ago, I heard him say that. And I started realizing, you know, sometimes I didn't take as seriously what God said to me, what I should have. And so I thought, well, I got to learn to change this. Also, I learned this. When the prophet spoke and prophesied, somebody's reputable and you know they're moving in the right direction, listen to what they say. God's talking. See, we don't do that today. Today, we just sort of throw things in and out. We talk about the book, but it's like the Lord said to me years ago, and you've heard me say this many times, and I'll probably hear it till Jesus comes, I'll say it many more. When the Lord told me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. One of the things is maintaining balance in a Christian walk is being led by the Spirit of God. Following the balance. There's one thing, I know this, there's things God will require of me more than he will another because of the office I stand in, the gift I got. To whom much is given, much is required. You understand that? See, people don't know. You know, people try to operate sometimes in things where they're not really in a place they should be or could be. But so I'm responsible in that. Also from where I am in my spiritual maturity, where another person may not be. You know, somebody who has less spiritual maturity and hasn't come along as much and developed, you know, God may not expect as much out of them in certain things that he'd never let me get by with. And so we have to understand that. So you have these kinds of balances. I'm not quite sure why we do it, but when we come over to Christianity and spirituality, somehow we get into weird thinking. And it's just like we would never expect a little child to be able to do things the adults do. But yet when we come over to Christianity, people throw all that out. And what happens? Things get whacked out and out of balance. Now, we know this is Kenneth Hagin, and he taught just in certain areas of healing. Now, what I'm doing is, Gaius, this guy here, was written this thing to him. His prosperity and his health was tied to his soul. In other words, how his soul had prospered, his mind, will, and emotion. In other words, understand about your thinking. How you think determines what you believe and what you say. And those three are going to have to be in line with each other if you're going to produce anything from the standpoint of faith. I know many people, they think one way, say another. They got this thing all messed up. I know people confess the word and confess the word, but I can tell you about what they do, where their thinking's at. I look at them and tell them, you can talk the word till you fall over dead and everything else. You can say it a million times. It don't produce a thing. It's, have you changed your thinking? Gaius is in a position to prosper in these areas because He's moving in a right direction. It's his direction and his thinking. Because we're going to find out, you find out with this guy, it's what he's doing. He's walking in the truth. And John said, man, I love it when my children walk in the truth. Now you need to know this. It's one thing of it is, we have to think in line with the truth. See, we go in today, there's a lot of extreme areas in teaching on either way. There's, especially in the grace area, there's really a lot of extreme teachings over the areas of grace. And if you've accepted any of that, you're not walking in the truth. See, many people are trying to have the blessing of the truth, not walking in the truth, but they believe what they're doing is true. See, it doesn't matter what I believe. And one of the things that we have is staying over in the truth. Now, this is one of the one great wonders that we have. And what was such a blessing, that, and I'm so thankful that when I came into the kingdom, they were doing so much teaching in line with the Word to get the Word into us, to get us into a direction. Because the Word is the foundation that is laid. Number one, you're not going to know the Holy Spirit if you don't know the Word. Because the Holy Spirit moves in lines. Like I said, when He talks to me, He'll usually speak a scripture. He'll say a thing to me from the scripture to give me a foundation to where He wants me to lead me to talk to me and to reveal things to me. He'll lay out a foundation from the Word. I don't know what it is other than if you don't have that. How would Jesus have known that the devil was misusing a scripture if He didn't know the scripture? Christians. There's major ministers today who are preaching doctrines of devils, and they are preaching, and they're not trying to be a bad guy. They heard a scripture, but they don't know. There's things that I know this about these individuals. There's things of scriptures they never study into or look at, so they don't ever go into them because they always got their nice little positive message. So there's things they don't know that the scripture says. They don't look at it. They don't look at those things. And they'll go over here and talk on this side and talk on this side. And they'll get over there and if Satan will reveal something to them, it ain't right. It's carried off. It's wrong. It's going to lead people off into the wrong thing. It's because they can't judge it with scripture because they don't know it. You always want to judge it by the scripture. One of the things I always appreciated this about Kenneth Hagin is listening to him because he said he did not preach things till he proved that it was true and it was right, it would work. You know, when Kenneth Hagin, the Lord dealt with him in prosperity and how to prosper, it wasn't for 4 years that he ever taught it in the church. He proved it for 4 years that the revelation he had was right. Most people, they'll go to a meeting, hear a guy preach something, and they run out the door and try to do it. And then wonder why it don't work. They never even prove it to themselves. That it's right. You sit down, look at the scriptures and that stuff. You know, sit down, take the time to find out what's true. Get it into you. And number one, you can't get it into you right away. You can't get things into you immediately just because you heard it and sound good and you liked it. This is where, you know, this is where I learned as a young Christian, stumbling around and falling over stuff, is I learned the things that you don't do. But I see people being Christians for 20 years and they're still stumbling around over everything and falling over everything. It's because they never practice good things. They're like the little kids, you know, like little children will do, you know. They'll just go hear something, they'll just run off with it, you know, little kids, and they're just excited about it, and they don't know that it ain't going to work and it's wrong. They don't know. They're just excited. They think it's cool. And they're doing it. And that's what Christians do. They never come to the place where they mature spiritually. And, you know, when the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, I would rather have you be a little slow and of obeying me, a little bit slow, and not get out ahead of me. Because he said, you get out ahead of me and I go another direction. He said, you're out there, you don't even know what's going on. I believe a lot of good ministers and good Christians have had that happen in their lives. And that's what they've done. They've gotten out there. God's moving in a certain way and they don't even know it. They're on their path. They got out there in that thing where got out beyond where the Word was at. They got over in the extreme. They don't even know it. And see, I don't want you to go there. We don't want to go there. You know, you want to be able to walk, and that's why it's taking time. You know, I've watched this over the past maybe like, say, 20 years, and I've listened to people talking about Jesus coming back, you know, and people at times would say more about it than others. But they'd always, oh, we got to hurry up and do all this, and hurry and do this, and we got to do this, and we got to. Hey, patience ain't changed, folks. Patience has not left the Bible. And one of the reasons where the church has gotten in the mess they are because they've thrown out foundational teaching, to listen to what somebody said because they're in a hurry. This is Brother Hagin said this out of his own mouth. He said, you know the reason I didn't go to Bible school? He said, it wasn't because God didn't tell me. He said, I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't think I had time. Jesus is coming back and I got to get out there and get to work. Well, he said, did I miss that or what? You know, I don't care. You know, there's going to be people that are going to be in Bible schools when Jesus returned. And you know what? God sent them there. That's where God had them at. So you go do what you... The whole thing is your purpose is you're in the will of God when Jesus shows up. That you're not slumbering and sleeping. You're doing what he told you to do. And no matter what that might be. But you're doing what he said. If he told you to do a certain thing, you do it. See, there's got to be a change, and this is one of the things I believe the Holy Spirit's going to have us focus on. There's got to be a renewing of the mind that takes place. There's got to be a change in the soul of individuals. We live in a society, and even in a church world, that the soul of people are so messed up. People are too emotional, way too emotional, yet we want to get a balance. There's nothing wrong with emotion. But people's emotions are emotionally driven. They're emotionally driven. And today, you know, they want people, you know, if somebody's not emotionally driven, you know, then there's something wrong with them, you know, that they're just, you know, if they're not as emotional and cry so easy, and don't, then there's something wrong with them. And if somebody, you know, I watched this over the years in the church, if somebody, you know, did something and cried, that was like real spiritual. You know, that was, and if somebody didn't cry, they would wonder if they weren't as spiritual. Well, neither are true. They don't have nothing to do with nothing. Because somebody's emotional or not emotional, hasn't do anything. But I know people who are very emotional and they cry easy over spiritual things, but yet don't do nothing spiritually. And one of the things that I had to learn with this, I learned over time that emotion, sometimes you can dissipate the Spirit of God by yielding to it emotionally instead of spiritually. You can dissipate the anointing. I know in ministry, sometimes myself, I got to watch. You don't get over in the emotional area about the anointing. Because the anointing comes on you, it can be very strong on your feelings. It can be very, but you have to watch how you yield to it in your feelings. You may dissipate the anointing, and so the anointing won't be there to do whatever God wants to do. Well, it ain't no different in our everyday lives in God's moving. We don't want to respond to things emotionally. It's sort of like a woman was, Kenneth Hagin told the story about a woman getting her fill with the Holy Ghost. He was ministering and he said this woman would come up every night to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said he'd lay hands on her and other people, they get filled with the Holy Ghost. And he would lay his hands on her and she would just go to wailing and hollering and, you know, oh, making all this, but she never spoke in tongues. She would go through all this and she would go through it and he ministered and after, you know, did a few nights of this stuff. And finally, the one night he laid hands on her and she started going and he said, ma'am, would you be quiet, please? And she just went to hollering because the anointing come on her. Finally, he said, would you please shut up? And she just, you know, startled. So you're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be so kind to them. I will guarantee there's people in the audience who probably thought he'll die and go to hell what he did, you know, because they're emotional. And they hate to see anybody, don't ever correct nobody. Don't do that. That's not nice. You know? And he told her, he said, you know why you don't speak in tongues? He said, because the anointing comes on you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues. But what you do is start yelling and dissipate the anointing on yourself and you never get filled. He said, stop this yelling and knock it off. And he said, laid hands on her and she started talking in tongues just like that. I had no plans talking about this stuff. But see, we need to get over because we have today, people got to get their minds renewed. These things aren't even talked about or taught today in nothing. The church is way out of balance. And being way out of balance, it's way out of balance on prosperity. So when it is, what happens is God can't bring the prosperity he wants to people and get them what he wants to. It's so out of balance in healing, he can't, the healing. And understand this. You need to understand. You're going to see among you people here, very seldom are you going to see a gift of healing go into manifestation. You're not going to see it. You know why? You don't need it. You know how to act in faith and believe and get it. You don't have to. You don't need a gift of healing. You can have it any time. The gifts operate as the Spirit wills. Man, I'd hate to have to wait. Well, let's wait till the Sunday it shows up. Dear Lord, let's get it before that. What do you think? Let's go after it beforehand. Let's have it. We don't need it. You know, that's what the Lord told Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin wondered years ago back in the healing revival. Why is it when we go over and the Christians come up, we don't see much for healing. We don't see much of the gifts of the Spirit. But the gifts of the Spirit operate when the people in the world or ones who don't know about healing, even the Christians, stuff happens. And he said, Lord, why? And the Lord said, I didn't put gifts of healings in the church for the church. He said, I gave the church faith. They can have healing anytime. He said, the gifts of the healing are what? They're for the folks that can't, don't know how to believe it. So see, there are many people, they're waiting for some kind of gift to go in. They're waiting for this special anointing to come. I will guarantee you this. Is it, if you went to Benny Hinn's meetings, people who sit in churches and have been taught on the areas of healing, they won't get healed. You won't find as many of them get healed in his meetings as people who don't know. He had to ask questions about that because he didn't know why it was going on. He should have read some of Kenneth Hagin's books. He'd have found out. He'll know about certain teaching, but he didn't. In fact, I forget who it was, had to go talk to him and tell him, Norval Hayes. Norval Hayes went and had to go explain to him why, because he was all concerned too, is why people lose their healing so much. They'd get healed in his meetings, and after a short time, they're back sick again. Well, there was no teaching going on to teach people. So you send people out, they go back to their same dead church that don't teach nothing. Well, after a while, they didn't get healed by faith to begin with. Their faith wasn't involved in it. It was Benny Hinn and the operation and his faith and his ministry. So for them, their faith wasn't involved. So they need to be taught so their faith can operate. And if the devil comes back and knocks on the door, they can deal with it. And so, see, if we don't get these balances, see, this is why things are all messed up. And most Christians don't know. They've never had their mind renewed. Our soul is messed up. It's not in a balanced place. It's either got an extreme on this side or an extreme on that side. You know, I've never met people that come to me, Christians who come to me, just like with here. We have like healing evangelist or something comes in, a minister. I never see people that just get healed without using their faith that are regular Christians like in our group. They're going to have to use their faith and get healed. Other people come in. I've seen people come in different times that they'll come in another time when somebody's here. They never keep it. They never keep it. Because they have the idea, I'm just going to get this guy's going to come lay hands on me and I'm going to get it and go away. No, they go right back to what they were. It doesn't matter. See, it's because of their soul's messed up. Their soul is messed up. If your soul isn't in a place of prosperity, and when I'm speaking of prosperity, understand this, I am not talking about money. In fact, the word prosperity here is used in here. What it means is this. It's to help on the road. It's the idea of you can have success in business, but it's like a prospering on a journey. You're on a journey. It isn't about just getting money. It's about you're on a journey to follow Jesus. And it's about fulfilling the vision God's put in your heart or fulfilling what God's taught you to do. If you're not doing that, I don't care how much money you got, how many houses and lands and all that stuff. If you're not fulfilling the plan of God, you have never prospered. In fact, your idea of prosperity is whacked out. It's whacked out. It's about fulfilling the will of God. And it's about helping others on their journey to fulfill the will of God. That's one of the things we give. We give to ministry. We want to help people. I tell you, see, I've learned that's a big thing. It's one of the things I've learned over the years. It's one of the greatest blessings as of being to prosper was to help other people on their journey. And you read about Gaius, that's exactly what he was doing. Most people don't give enough in finances to help other people on their journey. They look at giving as a basis of what's going to help them get back of what they need. Their whole purpose in giving, many people's giving, is what I get back. My number one agenda is helping somebody else fulfill the will of God. Right now, we need people fulfilling the will of God, not just more money. Now, money's good to have, and it's needed in ministry, and it's needed in life. But it's fulfilling the will of God. Helping people fulfill the will of God. That's a biggie. Help people fulfill the will of God. We do that in our giving, giving to help. Like, you know, praise God, you guys did wonderful with giving to Todd. We're helping somebody fulfill. I found that out. That's the biggest thing that has helped me. And this is, if we read about Gaius, that's what he's doing. Gaius, there was other ministers coming through his areas. This one guy's gone around here, and he's being nasty, and he ain't helping nobody. He wants to run. I'm running the show. I don't want anybody else coming in my place, you know, and that stuff. I can do it all. I can do it all. Man, there's ministers on TV today, and you can tell. They think they can do it all. You don't need other ministries. You don't need them. You just got me, and that's it. Man, I'm the whole body of Christ. I'm the whole thing. I can just operate in it all, and you don't need anybody else but me. Well, I'm sorry. The last I heard, there was apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and Ed wants them all. Because they are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In other words, we're not going to fulfill without them. So we want to help them fulfill God's plans and purposes. And in giving to ones, this is one of the things that we're a blessing. See, people were coming through Gaius's area, and he was helping them. And this is why when the Apostle John, if you read the letter, Apostle John is excited about this guy, because he's walking in the truth. He's helping. In other words, he's following. He's helping others fulfill their ministry. And so here, he hears about it, writes this guy a letter and says, man, I want you to prosper above everything. I want you to prosper and be in health. Why? You're fulfilling the will of God. You're helping others fulfill the will of God. I want you to do it. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people the church is helping prosper shouldn't be given a nickel to. All they do is help themselves. And people give money to them and say, I want to be blessed. Well, how God bless that? You know, you're going to find this, that he didn't turn around and write 3 John to that there Diotrephes or whatever his name was, the guy who wanted the preeminence, the guy that wouldn't listen to John and them. You know, they don't need John anymore. You know, the guy that came along to walk with Jesus, we don't need him anymore. I got it all now, man, I'll tell you. I'm still reading John. I'll tell you, I'm going to stick with John. John is a guy who walked with Jesus, and I don't believe he lied. It's number one, staying close to the truth. Always makes it. When ministers come along and start ministering in a way that leads you out to the thing that they're the next best thing to slice bread, immediately close the door. Nobody's that good. Always stay to the Word of God. Always stay close to the Word of God. Because we found out that's who this is written for. This is why this guy, he said to him, and like from the Greek, it says, beloved, concerning everything. Now, if I look at it all, this is what I desire most of all, or I'm praying for you, is this, that you prosper, that it's your in health. This is what I want for you. Why? Even as your soul prospers. See, Gaius had prosperity of the soul. See, he could tell what kind of man he was by what he was doing. And he said, your soul's really prospering. Now, you ought to have more over here on the natural side. You know, see, that's what the Lord did with me when he came out. He said, you're not receiving at the level you give. When he talked to me about that, is because, see, you start walking, you're doing the right things. And what he does is understand, God's looking at people. See, some people wonder why things don't prosper for them, and they don't, because they never let their soul prosper. They're never walking over. They never get their mind set right and walking right and thinking right. You know, it's sad to say, and, you know, I realize people can get off on their own. Don't have to be taught wrong about it. But you put dollar signs out in front of people whose soul has not prospered, man, all they're going to see is dollar signs and getting money and getting stuff. That's what's going to be on the agenda. That's where they're going to. Now, I want you to understand this. Because this is why it becomes hard in balance-wise. This is why you're going to have to walk with God. There's things that I can teach, but you're still going to have to get it yourself. When it comes over in the areas of finances and health, and especially in the area of finances. Because Kenneth Hagin said this, and he wasn't. Donald G. said it also. It seems that when you get over toward the trying to bring the balance to finances especially, people either get into the area where they are, well, then they won't ask for as much as they could have. And then you get people who get minded over the other way. It's trying to have the right balance. Because here's one thing. We don't want to be money-minded, but there isn't nothing wrong with believing for money. If a person's hearts or motives right about it, they can ask. But you've heard me say this, and I just tell you this. You better develop yourself, your soul realm, your thought, the way you think of what money and stuff and things are to you. You better develop yourself over in that area strongly toward the Word before you start asking for a lot. Because if you do get a lot, you're going to follow the stuff. I've watched it. I've watched really good ministers who were right, but you know, when money really starts coming in, it's a big pool. It's a big pool. You know what the money, love of money is? It's covetousness. And I'm going to tell you what, it can really affect you. A person doing good things. I've watched people doing very good things with money. And they have a very good project. But all of a sudden, it becomes covetousness. And that thing in getting money becomes the first thing in the front after a while. And that thing becomes, and after a while, a person who has been walking good and walking right, they don't even see it. They're out there, you know, I'm doing the work of God. And really, they don't see themselves. Their whole attitude is wrong. It's not right. Even though what they want to do is for God, God would rather not have you do it if you're going to do it with a wrong attitude. Because what happens is you hurt other people. We're not in the ministry, or we're not in, as Christians, to be going around, you know, and taking advantage of other people and trying to hurt other people. Yet a lot of people have been hurt. Now, there's many people, too, who got hurt out here. It's by their own covetousness, and they tried to blame the preacher. It's their own problems, their own mistakes, you know. You know, I think about it, that the Lord had to tell me that I should be believing for more. And you know what one of the reasons was? Well, really, actually, I was out of a balance because I had gotten over to seeing so much over on the side of people getting over in left field that I had a tendency not to move to the center. I stayed over on the side, over here a little bit. But you know, and I'm glad I stayed more toward the caution side than I did to go. I don't want to get over in that side because it's easy to get into that side and then get sucked the whole way down. I don't want to do that. But what I want to do, and God helped me with teaching me, was to develop my soul to stay over in the middle of this thing where I could believe God for money that would come to me. But it's one of the things that he said, he spoke to me about. It was because, it's just like the standpoint of Gaius. He said, you know, Lord said, you willingly give money, you willingly do it, you know. So in other words, the Lord is sort of like a Gaius. He's sort of like writing me a letter saying, hey, you know, I see what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. So you ought to prosper more. I want you to prosper more. And you need to see that. This is the big thing that you need to get over to get your soul, your soul or your mind, will, and emotions over thinking properly, operating properly, because God wants to take you to another level. Here we have Gaius. In other words, really it's being said to Gaius, you know, hey, above everything. Now just think of this. Now this guy and all he's doing, and he said, look, for everything else that's going on, the thing that I want, this is the Apostle John. He has walked with Jesus. He's heard Jesus talk about money. He's heard all these different things about walking right and having the right attitude. And he stops and says, now Gaius, listen here, bud. Above everything, what I want for you is you to prosper and you to be in health. That's above everything. I want you to prosper. Now, let's say prosperity is just not money. You know, but he wants him to have a better trip. His walk along in life, he wants it better for this guy, not just money. He wants him to have a better walk along. In other words, you can go to a higher place and a higher walk. That's what I want for you. A higher place, hallelujah, where you'll prosper. A place in health, that you stay over in the areas of health. So you want to walk there. Brother Hagin said he used to go by 10, 15 years, didn't even know if he had a body. Never, nothing ever go wrong. My words, as most people today, they'd like to go 15 minutes. And I'm not knocking anything, that just people just, you know, health-wise, that their bodies dominate them constantly, dominating them. And one of the things that we're dealing with that, we have to understand this, we're dealing with soul problems, soul problems. People are trying to use one method, one way. There can be many reasons why things exist. See, it's like with me, I thought, you know, that I needed to be able to have to give more money to get more money. And the Lord said, no, no, no. He said, you're giving enough money. You don't get it the rate that you should. See, my soul was thinking wrong. I see people do it in healing all the time. They're out here quoting, believing God for healing. They don't see. I can see. I know problems are going on with them. I know things that are happening going on in people's lives. I know. And I think, they're going to sit there and confess, go nowhere. They ain't going to go anywhere because of what's going on. There's things that need to be dealt with. There's things in their thinking are completely wrong and that stuff. They will swear that they're in line with the Word. They think because they can quote a scripture out of the Bible, that means they're in line. Know what you're thinking. It's your soul. See, it's one of the things that I found out, especially dealing with Kenneth Hagin, teaching on the areas of healing that I started off with as a young Christian, and the Lord took me over as a young Christian. The first 3 years I was born again, probably the major thing that I studied was divine healing, on the areas of healing. Looking at Jesus' healing ministry, looking at what the Bible says about it, studying into those areas. But really, that whole focus over there was to change my mind and the way I thought. Maybe somebody else can do it in less time, but I'll tell you what, most people today, I can tell, even all the years of divine healing teaching and all the years of healing, I can see it. Most people, their minds are still, they don't know how to go in this thing. You get people that can't, you know, they're either over here in the divine healing or they can't if they have to go to the doctor. This is all confusion to them. It's all tough. Well, if I don't go this way, like I go over that way, God won't help me. And if I go over here and stand this way, their whole mind's all in the area of confusion. They're walking around confessing, asking people to lay hands and pray for them. It's going nowhere. It's why. It's because their soul's messed up. The way they're thinking. So you got to think right about it. You know? You have to know where you can walk. Say, you know, where do I go? Can I go to the doctor? See, how many people go to the doctor and then they feel guilty? And then another thing, people worry about what somebody else is going to think. If you're worried about somebody else is going to think, you got a big problem. Because you're self-centered. That's the way it is. You're worried about somebody else thinks. I don't care what somebody else thinks. I understand about divine healing, and if I had to go to the doctor, I'd go to the doctor. I don't give a rip what any of you say. I don't care. Why? Because I'm going to use my faith where I can to get the best I can. Brother Hagin used to say, "Man, I have enough sense to get yourself something. You need to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor to fight another day. Why stay sick longer?" You know, people to me, now to me, this makes complete sense, but I can see that many people's souls are not, their souls all messed up. You know, it's like we want to be, you know, it's like me when I was a little baby Christian come in the kingdom and seeing what Brother Hagin was doing, and I was dumb enough to try some of it, which I was never ready for, and I'd stuff fall flat on my face and things and that. But it did grow up some, but too many people never grow up. They never get over the emotional stage of others around them. You know, you learn to know where you're at, and if somebody else is out, and I've learned, you always have the people on the sidelines who are there. Well, if you're really a person of faith, why would you even go to a doctor? They'll say that. And they never stood one time for their faith. They always went to the doctor. And if the doctor, you know, and they never got over nothing. Everything they ever did, they have still taken the medication for it 20 years later. And they're still, but they're to try to knock down divine healing. If you let those people bother you and run through, you got the problem, not them. You have the problem. Your soul has a problem because you're over here in your mind. It's all about everybody liking you, and I want them to think that I'm just, you know, wonderful. I can really do good. I don't care. Jesus said this. He said, they'll call evil good and good evil. I'll tell you what, I can be doing the best. He never sinned and they killed him. Dear God, why on earth am I trying to worry about what somebody else thinks about what's going on? If I'm walking what I know to do in my heart, I don't really care what other people say about it. I learned over time. It used to bother me, but I did grow up enough that I don't care no more. And if you haven't got there, you haven't grown up enough yet. You ain't grown up yet. You're not as far along as you think. But you got to grow up to where you get the point. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get fulfill the word of God that I know and I can walk in. I want to fulfill that. You know, I want to get that. It doesn't matter what the rest of them say about it. Dear Lord, I'd rather have somebody go to a doctor and get themselves back on their feet again and keep staying sick and going through all this nonsense about believing God for healing. It never happens. Folks, it's craziness. You got to understand, it's don't get over it. You don't have to play in people's games and play in people's stuff. You got to walk where you can. Well, one thing you got to do, you want to grow. You do want to grow. But you have to learn out, growing is not something where you come up to a set of stairs and one day you're allowed to take 10 steps at a time because you're so mature. You don't have to take all those ones in between. I'm going to guarantee you, if you went to the top of the stairs and missed about 6 of them, sometime down the road, we're all going to watch you come down them steps because there's things you didn't know and you're going to end up dropping over it. I'm not throwing rocks at you. Been there, done that. I've skipped steps already. Never worked out well. It's always good. And this is about, and I found this out, this helps us to keep a balance into things. If we follow a path, it's just like raising a child. If a child is raised properly, this by step, you know, you can't take a little kid and make him an adult overnight. You know, sometimes people want to do that. Some people never want their kids to grow up, and well, that's a mess. But you know, if you take step by step and you go along to maturity, they will grow up mature. It is the same way spiritually. You can't skip steps. You know, some people act like in these last days, people are just going to get real mature and grow up without. No, you're going to still follow the Bible steps. Word changes not. The word don't change. People come into the kingdom. Now, people come into the kingdom sometimes. What we do have, I know God used me in a lot of different ways, but one of the reasons he used me, I was among many people who were spirit-filled, who had no training. They had been in the scripture. They had been born again for years. Knew nothing. They didn't know anything. They were. I used to call them, they're sort of like a spirit-filled Mennonite. Now, I ain't making fun of the Mennonites, but in other words, they had sort of a Mennonite doctrine, but they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they thought because they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, see, they never changed the way they thought. They thought exactly just like a Mennonite. And so they just followed that. So people would come along and they would get in there, whatever group they were with, when they got spirit-filled, if they kept the theology and the ideas and the thinking of those people and they didn't change it. So they stayed among those groups, and they would never reach out and go very far. They never went. They'd only go so far, and then that's it, because you can't, because they like that doctrine. See, I have people do that all the time. See, I have people, you know, I watch people with a brethren, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost, but they would like the brethren doctrine, and they just sort of stayed over there. I watch Catholics do it. They like the Catholic doctrine, so they stayed over there. Brother Hagin said this, and I found it's true. He said, I just don't understand a person get filled with the Holy Spirit and go back to their same dead church. What on earth would you do that for? Why? Because you're going to be very limited. You're going no further than that pastor does in that church. He's the leader. Jesus said you go no further than your teacher. And if he's your teacher, there you go. You need to understand that. See, and it's one of the things that I was fortunate from the standpoint, because I wasn't tied to any of that. I stepped out in, and I stepped out into things with people who were, and I was listening to Brother Hagin's teachings and stuff. And so God used me real powerfully, and people act at different ones, well, you just sort of special. I was not special. It's they were having problems because they weren't being taught. They're sitting and listening to stuff. God put me in a church where, man, I'm, you know, and it was really, for me, the pastor, it was hard for me because the pastor didn't know a lot of stuff. He didn't know. He'd come out of a group, my words, you know, he went down through the seminary down here in Lancaster, theological seminary, whatever it was, that cemetery, and he went through that thing, and he'd come out down there, and he's down there sitting among those people, but he's sitting and listening to all that stuff. He had a lot more education than I had, but, you know, I had done read the Bible, and I had studied the Bible, and I learned things about stuff he didn't know about walking in, and it's no knock. But see, if you don't come out from among that, you keep walking in. So there's places he wouldn't leave. He wouldn't leave because that was his theology and that's the way that he thought. And so he wouldn't come out from that. And it limited him in areas. It limited him. Now, he was called to be the pastor. He was called to that. And that stuff. But he's limited. And see, this is what we need to understand is if we don't change in our soul the way we think, if we want to stay, see, people are very, it's very comfortable to think you know God. And sure, we, you know, want to impress somebody. We're smart. I'll tell you what, I ain't. God, if it didn't have the anointing, I know what on earth I'd be doing. Dear Lord, it's the anointing. You know, when I learned to, you know, just get up here on Sunday and I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to have a bunch of dotes on this stuff, you know, and I'd like to have it, you know, you have it there, you have that comfort. But let's let the Holy Spirit, you know, it isn't that I didn't study, I didn't do anything, I wasn't in the Word, but you are, but God wants to say some things because things need to get changed among people. We're living in a really messed up. If you would take just here in our community among Christians and beliefs, it's amazing. I taught in a Bible school. I've taught over the years in more than one Bible school. I've taught in other places in the earth in Bible schools, from Mexico to Fiji, and, you know, here in Lancaster County. As a Bible school, it's amazing the doctrines and stuff out here. It's amazing what you sit down and people say, well, the Bible says this. Well, this is what we believe. Say, well, personally, I'm not really interested. The Bible says this. I've had people do that to me here in this church. It can go on. It goes on every place. When a person doesn't get their soul renewed, when they don't change it, they can walk in things that they like and they want to walk in. They don't try to be bad people or do things, but they get it in their mind that it's a certain way. But sometimes you can't change it. You can try everything you want, and you can't change it. They get it set in their mind. This is the way over here on this, and they sit over there and do that. Why? Because they like thinking there. They like thinking that way. They have friends who think that way. So see, I can hang out with these people because I like them, and we go along the same line here. See, and we do. If I get out here, I might get the left foot of fellowship. Well, I've already had that, so it's done. They've already kicked me out. So I don't worry about it no more. I've had the left foot of fellowship more times, you know? Hey, if we're wrong, we're wrong. And it's finding out what the Bible says and sticking with what the Bible says. It's getting in line with what the Bible says. But we want to walk and stay in the areas where we walk in the light of the truth of the Word of God. We walk in the light of the truth. We want to come to this. I believe this is what God does. He wants to bring this place to a balance where we're over here. And really, I believe the whole thing of it is this balance is getting into this area because the war is really is. Let me close with this scripture and we'll have communion. But I want to close with over in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I know you've all heard this, but it talks about the weapons of our warfare. Because, look, there's a battle that goes on out here. There's a warfare that goes on. In 2 Corinthians 10 chapter, verse 3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. That's not what we're doing. Paul was speaking himself. We walk in the flesh. Our war is not in the flesh. He said, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of stronghold. He's talking here about spiritual. Now, this is dealing from the spiritual side. This is not a physical thing or dealing with it. He says, what? Casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. You know, we use these. Paul in here actually actually was using these scriptures from the standpoint of him as a teacher. This is what he does. His teaching and ministry is not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And what it is, it's to change people's minds. Why? Because we're fighting a spiritual battle. You need to understand this. There's a war going on to keep you thinking wrong. There are spirits that want you to think wrong, and they are working to do it. And if you don't listen to right teaching, if you don't, sometimes people don't. People don't listen. This war is going on. Why? What's the purpose? So we bring every thought into captivity. What? To the obedience of Christ. To bring every thought into obedience to Christ. So see, the war that's going on here, this warfare isn't out here, trying to run the devil out of town. You ain't going to run the devil out of town. The devils, there are going to be devils in every town you go to. But those devils are going to try to dominate you. They're going to try to dominate the way you think. It's one thing. The devil needs to change your thinking to get an inroad in your life. And if he has an inroad in your life, it's because he holds a high place in your thinking. Understand that. The devil has to first gain an area of your mind to come along and oppress you. If he doesn't, if you think right, he's going to have a hard time getting in. If you're thinking right, he's going to have a hard time. But if he can get a place into your thought life and get a place in to begin to change the way you think, that's how he gets the inroad. When Jesus Christ showed Kenneth Hagin how demons got a hold of people, he got a hold of them through every time through their thinking. That's how he did it. He got them to think wrong. He even showed him a sinner. And showed him a sinner, how this sinner turned around and got over with that. He became obsessed in his ways thinking. And see, this is what happened. People get obsessed in the way they think. They open the door of the devil and that spirit obsesses them into thinking a certain way. And you know what? It can even sound religious and good, but it's an obsession, and a person walks in it, and it keeps them from getting the blessing of God. It keeps them away from it, thinking wrong. See, Paul's come along teaching the Word of God for the purpose of this, so we take thoughts into captivity. That's what it's for. So our thoughts, this is why sloppy grace is terrible, because it tells you, you can think, you can sin, you can do these things. You don't have to control. You can let your emotions run. You can do sin, and you don't have to, it's not going to affect your mind. No, it won't. You can sin, and it's all going to work out all right. No, it's not. It's about protecting your mind and your thoughts. He said, casting down those imaginations. What we're doing, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Don't yell at the other guy when you're doing it. You don't call somebody else to obedience till you get it right. It's a pretty good one, isn't it? You get it right, you can. But, you know, isn't that what Jesus said? Get the beam out of your eye, you go get the beam out of your brother's. I always get a kick out of these people that try to tell other people how to walk right and their life's so messed up. And see, it goes over there and try to tell the other guys, like, oh, give me a break. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand this, what we're talking about, this battle to the mind. And this is what it is. This man, Gaius, has gotten over his soul, is over in this area, and it's working right. He's found it in truth. John is so happy because he heard about Gaius, and he's excited because he said, oh man, I love it when I hear my children walk in the truth. I love it when I hear that. There's nothing more great for anybody in a ministry that people walk in truth. There's nothing greater. Thank God for the financial blessings and the things, but the biggest blessing you guys can do for me is to walk in the truth. That's the biggest blessing, because it puts you in an area of qualification. And this is where we need God's blessing in our lives, or we aren't going to fulfill. You know, Gaius, there's probably things of his ministry. If he can't walk in these areas, it'd probably be areas of his ministry he'd never fulfill. He wants to go, I want you to prosper in your journey. I want you to prosper. I want you to be healthy. This is I'm praying for you, bud. This is it for you, because of looking at everything. Man, hey, this is most of all what you need to have. This is what you got. And see, you need to look at it. Like to me, I look at it as a goal. It's like there, I want to be at that place where that's of everything. You know, you're walking the other stuff right, and God's saying, "Okay, let's get the rest of this thing rolling now." Hallelujah! So you can get out here and do the thing, fulfill my will and pleasure. You can do that, and you'll have all you need to do it along in the journey, and your health's good. Don't you want that? Well, it's because of prosperity of the soul. And that's why, if I've always said this, if you don't get a person thinking right and all that kind of stuff and walking into areas concerning finances right, if finances come along, that every time I've watched people, every time a person who has not gotten themselves over where they understand about money and understand how not to follow it and keep their flesh under, every time they follow the money. Every time they follow the money. That's why we have so much carnality over in the area of finances, because there's not enough taught about where you're supposed to be before you prosper. All they teach is, oh, just send your money and God will send you a lot of money. And what happens, that stuff's wrong, just doing that. Now, because if a person is not, they don't understand. We need to be taught about this. This wasn't thrown out to Gaius here. He was just a Christian. Now you get, hey, going to send you big checks and you're going to get well, just in general. Because I'll guarantee you, that other dude, it ain't going to be happening for. It ain't going to be working. He didn't pray for him, did he? Ha! See, I sure want John praying for me, wouldn't you? Or instead of saying, hey, that there's another turkey over there. I don't want to be the other turkey, you know. I don't want to be over there with the devil eat your lunch. And that guy is in that place. And that's why I said in the beginning, it's not written to everybody. Those promises are written to the people who meet the qualifications. And so what should my goal be? My goal should be meet qualifications first. You know, so many people, I want the driver's license and then I'll learn how to drive. Isn't that what you want? Wouldn't it be great in life? This is what the church has done. The church is trying to get all the promises without meeting the qualifications, because we got a lot of sloppy teaching. And so what happens is things get out of balance. Things get out of balance. They get into balance. The whole thing of it is, then you can enjoy it. It's a blessing to you. The curse doesn't come without a cause. The Bible says so. And I tell you, there's people out here who got money and they're cursed. Because money is not going to solve your problem when you have a messed up soul. When you have bad thinking, you ain't going to be happy anyhow. Is money going to make... You know, we can go things of prosperity in this country, but if people don't change the way they think, it'll lead to destruction. Has our welfare system really turned things around and helped stuff, giving people money and giving people stuff? Does it help things? Why? People don't change the way they think. You can hand them whatever you want to hand them, and it ain't going to change it. You got to change. The person has to change their soul. Their soul needs to be changed. Kenneth Hagin said this: the number one thing needed in the church is a renewed mind. That's the number one thing. He said that's the number one. A lot of people have a lot of things, but I've learned over time, he's exactly right. I know if I'm going to overcome in an area, I'm going to have to sit down and make sure that I'm thinking right in an area about it. That's why I understood him. I mean, a man who sure did understand divine healing, but before he'd even pray for his own children, sometimes he might take a day or so and just meditate on the scriptures. He said to make sure that I'm ready to pray and release my faith. Oh man, most people, you know, they didn't pray a lick about it. Come in Sunday, just lay hands on me. I ain't done nothing. Just let's get this thing rolling. They just want to, everybody wants an instantaneous without having to do preparing spiritually for it and setting their mind in the right direction. No, they leave thinking the same way they did when they got there. And you know what? Nothing changes. Nothing changes. And I don't want to go there. I want to overcome. I've had too many mistakes in my life. I don't want to repeat them. There's things I don't want to repeat. How about you? Some things. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have communion here this morning. And I get a sense that, you know, God wants us to set ourselves in a commitment of things, you know. It's committing ourselves, really, to the renewing of our minds, to getting over the areas of soul. Because, and especially, you know, teaching on these things, the Lord's dealing with me about bringing balance to this. And I said, man, Lord, this, I don't know if maybe you ought to got somebody else to do this. Because somebody don't feel qualified because you get up. I know we hit a lot of bases on things today, but I think the Holy Ghost just wants to get us overthinking on some stuff and that, because we can get on a ditch over there and that stuff, and those places really become great burdens to our own personal life. They really become big problems because of thinking wrong. There's people over here because, you know, thinking on this side, trying to do what they can't do and that stuff. Then they get guilt and they wonder if God's going to even help them. And you get over in those areas. I mean, even if you've missed it and your soul's been messed up, I mean, get over with God on the thing. I mean, if he anything wants to do, he wants to get us over to understand and comprehend. There's one thing as I've, you know, learned and listening in the areas of healing. I would listen to Dr. Kenneth Hagin's stuff and that stuff, and I still do. It's like the Lord told me, canary in the finances. He said, get out the Midas touch and read it again. Because really, it brings a balance to things, and it talks about in areas, reasons for, you know, Brother Hagin, we might even talk about that. List five, you know, things, categories or things, the way you should think concerning giving on your list. And really, getting back was number five. Four things before that. And I'm glad I got to sit under those kinds of teachings, because giving wasn't a thing about just getting money back. It's not about getting money back. It's like with me, lots of times I don't even think about the fact that when I'm giving about getting money back, because my mind has already said, I know this, I'm giving, God's given to me, I can ask anything according to his will and he'll give it to me. But the whole thing, so when you have to throw that out into the front, to me, it shows a sign of immaturity. It's like, I got to put my need out on the front. Is that why we give to people? To put my need on the front? That's what I always, you know, we always hear me pray, and I say this, Lord, I want to thank you that we can give today and we without any kind of fear or worry that we're not going to have enough. I don't ever see that's out. See, most people are given because they really have to. I want something back. Really, what they don't know, it's a basic operation of fear. I'm giving this because I got to get something. And mine is like, my words, I've learned over the years, you can get something. That ain't a problem. He's already declared he wanted to give me pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So I don't have to put that in the forefront of my giving. Hallelujah. If I'm giving to somebody, it's to bless them. Number one of my agenda should be their blessing. It's more blessed to give than receive. I'm sorry, it hasn't been taught in the church through most ministers that teach finances. Do not teach that. They don't emphasize that near enough. Because why? You'll understand it when you come. You get your soul fixed right. It's like to me, it is a blessing. My God, have money to give. There ain't nothing greater than being able to do that. You get to exercise the love of God in your heart. Hallelujah. You get to do what God does. Glory to God. Be a giver. Bless somebody. There's no more freedom in it than that. You can't get any freer than that. It ain't freer when somebody comes and hands you the check. It's, praise God, the greatest freedom and release is I can be a blessing. Man, I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. Glory to God. I'm gonna change generations. Glory to God. But see, when we have it on the just given side, what it happens, it's a short distance, man. There ain't no future to that. It isn't out there changing the future of nothing. And that giving, hallelujah, blessing others, and we can do that. Glory to God. I believe a lot of people didn't mean to get off course in this stuff, but you get so much taught on such certain side, it's easy for everybody to start pulling over there because people like to hear it. I want you to say, there's many people that would not go to listen to men or sisters if they didn't teach them like that. They wouldn't go listen to them. I'm just telling you, we have a lot of people in the body of Christ have itching ears drawing teachers to themselves. I'm sure that is why you come here. We don't want itching ears. I want you guys to be so blessed. I want you guys to have so much of God working in your life. I want you so full. You know, that's my dream. Hallelujah. I want that. Hallelujah. And God wants that. I'll tell you, to know Him, there's nothing greater. Father, we just thank You this morning. Lord God, we're setting ourselves in a direction this morning. And Lord God, I don't know where all You're going to go with this or what You want, all You want to do. But Lord God, I know I have to walk by faith in it, of what You want to do.